Retail sales are up just in time for the holidays.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Coming up, the Commerce Department said this morning that in October, retail sales were up by the largest amount in 7 months. We'll find out why, but first, where's Wall Street? Markets are up right now. The Dow is up 40 points at 11,233. The NASDAQ up about 0.4%. And the S&P 500 also up about 0.4%. European markets were mixed as investors questioned Ireland's claim that it doesn't need a bailout. There are worries, of course, that Ireland's debt problems could ripple across the global economy. Stocks in Tokyo rose today after Japan said its economy grew by a surprising 3.9% last quarter. Now to those retail sales, let's bring in Julia Coronado, chief economist at the investment bank BNP Paribas. She joins us now live from London. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Julia, sales up by 1.2%. It's the biggest rise since March. Is retail back?
Well, I would caution taking too much optimism from the numbers. Part of it is inflation. So gas prices rose quite a bit, pushing up the numbers. Now, consumers did spend on cars, and that's a good sign, but they also pulled back on spending on electronics and department stores. So overall, it's still a mixed picture, and I'd say consumers are still pretty cautious on how they allocate those dollars.
Okay, we got earnings this morning from the big home improvement chain Lowe's. They missed expectations, and they say the reason why is because people are putting off big home renovations that are very expensive. Put that into context of the retail sales this morning.
Well, that really does highlight the trends that we've been seeing in retail sales, which is that consumers are willing to spend on smaller ticket items like clothing and restaurant meals, but they've really shied away and been very conservative about spending on autos or renovation projects and the kinds of items that usually require a deeper sense of optimism about the future. So I'd say consumers are still pretty cautious and retailers are feeling it.
Okay, Julia Coronado, chief economist at the investment bank BNP Paribas. Thanks, as always, for your time.
It's my pleasure.
Turning now to the mergers and acquisitions department, a big deal to tell you about this morning. Caterpillar says it's going to buy the mining company Bucyrus for $7.6 billion. And get ready for some more deals, because this is expected to be the biggest week of initial public offerings in a couple of years. GM goes public on Thursday, and a Chinese automaker is expected to be one of the big buyers of GM shares. The coming wave of Chinese takeovers is the cover story on the latest edition of The Economist, and we're joined now by the guy who wrote that story, Patrick Fowles. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So in the latest issue of The Economist, you write that China's share of the world's foreign direct investment is rising very quickly. How fast is it rising?
This year so far, China's accounted for about 10% of global deals. So we expect that number to move up quite sharply this year. And over the long term, it could move up a lot.
And meanwhile, other countries' shares, I assume, are dropping.
Yeah. So if you look at America, for example, the U.S. owned about half of the world's foreign direct investment in the late 1960s. And that's already dropped very sharply into the sort of 20 to 30% range. So we expect that trend to continue with emerging economies going up and China in particular getting a lot bigger.
And what's the effect of all of this?
One effect is political controversy. As we outlined in our article, many of the Chinese companies are directed by the government in some form. So I think that will continue to create trade frictions. The other element is obviously that it's another way for China's excess savings to find a way into Western investment. And at the moment, a lot of their investment is put into U.S. government bonds.
And you write in the article that there are a lot of questions about how ready China is to manage some of these companies.
Well, that's right. We spoke to just over 10 firms anonymously that had been bought by Chinese businesses. And the picture we got was that although they were often very good technically, for example, at mining or the geology of oil, for example, their ability to manage foreigners was limited. And that comes back to the idea that often the most successful international companies are those which sort of transcend their nationality. And if that's true, China still has a long way to go.
Patrick Fowles, banking editor of The Economist, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thanks.
Thanks. Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt. It's more car than electric. By Ally Bank, offering its Raise Your Rate CD, as well as an online savings account and money market account. Learn more at AllyBank.com. And by the Wall Street Journal Weekend, offering four sections of ideas and information, available at newsstands every Saturday.
Later this morning, Facebook is holding a press conference about a mysterious new product launch. Many expect the company to unveil a new email service. This comes just a day after AOL announced a long-awaited overhaul of its email service. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith looks into why everyone is suddenly rediscovering email.
Facebook email is already being called the Gmail killer. That's because Facebook has 500 million users. If they all started using the email service, Facebook would be the biggest email provider in the world, more than twice as large as Google's Gmail. NetTech's Steve Kennedy says users' emails would give Facebook valuable information.
It contextually looks at both the subject and the content of the email and delivers you adverts based on that context.
That's how Gmail makes its money. But Facebook could add that information to the vast trove of data it already has on users and create an advertising goldmine. But Duke University's Ken Wilber thinks adding email could make Facebook seem dated.
You talk to college students, for them, email is, you know, for people over 30. It's like, don't trust anyone with an email account.
Wilber points out that having an older people image is the big problem AOL has now. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
And while we're on the subject of Facebook, what's a reasonable number of friends? Could it be 100 or 1,000? Well, the creators of a new social network called Path think 50 is the appropriate amount. So that's the maximum number of friends you can have. There will be no limit, of course, on the number of enemies you can have once they find out that they didn't make the top 50. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Cotton futures are hitting record highs this year. Part of the reason for that demand is a group of U.S. cotton growers and importers called Cotton Incorporated.
There were people, I can recall, people back in the early 70s were very, very skeptical of paying this organization to do something.
I'm Bob Moon, making us think twice about cotton, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.